Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger. We are on episode 95.
Also, I realized last week we went past our two-year mark.
Oh, did we?
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah, because we did start.
Yeah,
we've been doing this for two fucking years.
No, this week on Facebook, I did kind of notice it saying, "Hey, here was a post from 2 years ago," and it was me talking about the first episode of Cast Ranger.
You guys are nerds.
I'm glad we've been doing this thing.
Honestly, I have to say I'm impressed that we were able to actually stick with something just about every week for 2 years.
Have we been doing it this long?
No, for real.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest milestone here.
That is the absolute milestone here. We actually kept doing this for 2 years.
You've definitely... Shit. You guys have been here, so I won't say I've done it because, no, you guys were here from the original.
Mm-hmm.
You've lost a few, you've gained a few...
I think we
Paul
profited.
Paul slept a couple times.
So, with you here, I know we profited.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely, man.
It was a net
gain. We're glad you're part of the main cast now.
Well, you know, because, you know, it is, you guys, is almost was 2 year anniversary, at least we're...
Belated 2 year, we'll call it.
Belated 2 year anniversary. I feel that I should steal saying this. Funeral call!
We're live! Kaigan!
Watching all the anime! Redcaster, Show Raven!
Equipment Wielder, Bluecaster, Ishida's Azeal!
Loyal and Loud, Pinkcaster, Lightred!
Trauma Inducer, Northcaster, Saga!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger!
On air!
Otsukare!
Have joy in life, Raven.
God damn it, Cell. Why did you steal our thunder?
Because I like the Thunder Megazord. It's my favorite.
Oh.
What? Oh my god.
Raven was about to stab him with the Ichimanto.
I was actually scared for a second. I was like, ah! It's just the toy sword!
It's that moment where I was about to stab him and then blocked it with the fucking sword.
Yeah, sure, I was aiming for the sword.
Oh my god, my heart skipped a beat, like, literally.
Like, nothing was better than earlier, though.
Oh, yeah.
Little bit of fun story for you. Like, Lane, like, you know, comes in, "Hey, Zell, look at this!" Pulls out his cube morpher.
The Zero Changer.
And I just reach into my bag.
Boom!
Just Indiana Jones that shit. That was great.
Anyway. But yes, we're here.
So just
we're queer. We don't want any more bears.
Get used to it.
We already got enough of those in here.
So it's just four of us. Four of us tonight. Gar went home to see his parents.
Because
so
he's weak of heart.
His parents. His parents.
Well, if he looks in a mirror, he can see his appearance all the time.
Oh,
nice
appearance.
Well, because that's how Gar would say it. My appearance.
No. Okay. Quick.
Gar, how do you say appearance?
So. I have this manager, my job named Luther, and he's this really awesome, like, Korean guy. And so, like, we talk about Star Wars all the fucking time. So we, like, make a joke because, like, he does the whole, like, you know, stereotypical Asian accent thing where he's like, oh, and he, like, does, like... Yeah, no, he does it himself.
No, it's not that to me. It's the fact that you chose to personify the entire Asian stereotypical accent as, oh.
No, so we just make, like, we quote, okay, we have this funny thing now where we just quote, like, Star Wars stuff and in, like, an Asian voice.
Oh, God.
So,
oh, no.
So what, you're Nemodians?
So it's just like, oh, Anakin Skywalker, here's... You're supposed to bring bounce to the floor. And it's like, did you just say bounce to the floor? No, bounce to the floor! So it's like bounce to the force.
Oh my god.
So it just, that's a thing we do at work, and it's super fucking dumb. But
today on Racist Cast Ranger.
Cast Racist.
Cast Racist.
I'm sure we made that joke before.
Cast Racist!
We haven't changed in 2 years, I see.
Yeah, no, not at all.
The maturity is high.
Oh man.
Alright, so this week we watched Ghost episode 21, Juojer episode 4, and we watched a random assortment of Magi Ranger episodes. Which I'm going to say right
Thanks, Gar.
Which I'm gonna say right now. For the past like week or two, I've been listening to like all our past episodes of Cast Ranger just because my iPod's broken right now, so I can't listen to music. So
Cast Ranger for when you have no alternative.
Hey, whatever gets us the numbers.
Exactly. I realize that every time we like do one of these feature topics where we talk about like a new show or something, like something. I always said, this episode X is pretty good. I'm gonna keep watching.
And then never do.
No. Stronger. I'm gonna keep watching a bit. No. So we started Magi March because I wanted to like start watching Magi. I'm not going to. We all know I'm not going to.
I was dropping all pretense.
I was hoping this would lead into, you know what, this time I'm actually going to do it.
No. I'm not going to watch Magi Ranger. I just don't have time. Also, I've been watching...
This is a good one.
I know it is, and it shows. It's great. But honestly...
Not from these episodes, though, mind you.
I've actually decided, like, and I'm actually sticking to this. I really, really mean it. I'm rewatching all of Drive because, like, it's my favorite
because
series.
That's way more worth it than marathoning Magi Ranger.
Absolutely, in my eyes. Well, okay, it's my favorite writer's show. I've already watched.
I'd be a little more ticked if you said you were gonna drop Magi Ranger to watch all of Tokyuger again.
He's not an insane.
Then I would have clubbed you to death with your own fucking cube morpher.
No, but I actually like the other night. I actually watched like 7 episodes so in a row. So I'm already
it's
well
true. I can hear them.
Yeah, because I just want to like. And honestly, rewatching Drive again, you notice things that you never realized the first watch. So now I'm just like, I'm getting this whole like new hindsight on view on Drive, and I'm just like, I love it. It's so great.
You could call it his rear view drive.
Speaking of Drive, let's talk about Ghost.
Good segue.
All we need is just from the Drive.
All we need
drive.
Is Ghost. Ghost episode 21.
All right. This was an interesting one.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
So much Gamma World.
A lot of Gamma World.
I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but the headquarters where like all the Gamma family meets and talks to each other. I noticed that was another one of their familiar set.
The Gamma family. They're kooky.
Steps
they're
up.
Creepy.
That's good.
They're awfully sneaky.
but no, the location where they are, I recognize that from a couple other things. First off, anyone who's seen the live action web drama Death Game Park, that was the area they started in the first episode.
Oh, that's such a good movie.
It features a lot of good tokusatsu actors, so TV Nihon subbed it. Check it out. It's really good. And also, I believe it was the same area where Decade fought Kabuto.
The bee.
Do you know what it reminds me of?
Yeah, he fought the bee in Decade.
Yeah.
Do you know what it reminds me of? Whenever we see the Gamma, not the Gamma World, I should say, but like their little meeting room, their headquarters, I guess, mm-hmm. where the whole family is there, uh-huh. it basically reminds me of any scene in Game of Thrones where the Lannisters are having a meeting, because it's just siblings bickering over the control of the world, basically, and the father looking at all of them like, my fucking children.
No, but we learned a lot about the family in this, because like there's Emperor Donis or whatever. He, you know, he's like, I'm super. I have this dream of how like the human world should be, and I'll make sure it happens.
Fucking god.
Adonis.
What's the sister's name?
Arya.
Arya. She's like the nice sister, nice daughter who, you know, is like, oh.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Nice. This thing of Jackie Burkhart.
Or is she?
The last couple episodes of...
I think she's a sadistic fucking bitch, and she's probably the one who took their bodies.
Oh, wouldn't that be a twist?
She's like the
because
most
she was
one.
The one guiding the innocent children down the dark set of stairs into the basement.
Also, I like how she just casually asks, oh, how's Makoto and Kanon doing? I wish they would come back for a visit.
Yeah.
Aren't there bodies in, like, the next room?
Yeah.
I'm just picturing her saying that, oh, I do wish they would come to visit. Close up on her eyes.
Let's see. Alan,
here's the thing.
Huh?
Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
I noticed... that this episode helps establish what we've seen from Arya, in that Adonis apparently actually has emotions, which is something we've not seen out of this weird race that is clearly not human, but not Ganma.
I think Adonis was a human. Judging from the conversation between him and, I'm just going to call him Sage, because it's fucking
Edith.
Sage.
Edith.
I don't even care. It's Sage. Fucking Sage.
It's Sage. Sure.
It's Sonic!
Judging from their conversation involving his wife...
Yeah, they mentioned that he had a dead...
That moment, I think... The two of them were probably originally humans, and this whole Ganma world is something of their creation.
Yeah, because they bring up that, like, oh, they
died. Is that another Helheim?
It might be.
It's next door to Helheim.
Yeah.
God, imagine Sage is just Sagar's, like, fucking brother, long-distance cousin or something.
It makes so much sense.
I'm just trying to imagine, like, your average Joe who's, like, been keeping track of all these Kamen Rider events through the ages... And, like, trying to, like, map out the different world. Okay, so we have Helheim here, the Ganma world here, here's the digital world, here's the goddamn Dark Ocean, here's Earth 2.
And the mirror world exists in here.
What the fuck? And what the fuck's this? Zooland?
Just in one of their meetings, you just see, like, Decade's dimension thing just fucking appear, and just Decade comes out, hey, what's up, guys? Ah, oh, Decade! Good to see you made it!
He just has, like, the blank ghost card.
Narutaki comes to, just, what are they, ghost?
And so, then walks off into a portal, and we never see him again.
So, sorry, what were you saying about the family, though?
Oh, okay, and then, Alan, he's just, like, oh, the young brother. But then we get
He's daddy's favorite. Yeah,
daddy's favorite. And then we get to Adele, who's obviously the jealous, oh, daddy doesn't love me enough, eldest son. And so...
Yeah, that's
daddy. That shows, especially when, like, Adonis is doing his little prayer thingy in his card captor's room. I don't know what the
you
fuck it is.
You can't be here.
Who is he praying to, by the way?
I would like to note that the color scheme of those fucking
matches the icons.
Yeah, it's the fucking heroic icons.
He's praying to Saiyanji.
Yes,
he's praying to the most smart people.
Wait,
I just blew your mind.
Wait,
he's praying to the entity that revived fucking Kanon
and ate Saiyanji.
Now let me. Yes. Sorry, Lane. Quickly, when he was praying, they didn't sub it, so I guess it wasn't in Japanese.
Yeah, he was speaking not Japanese.
I don't know. I'd like to know what language that was.
It was Ganma-ish.
I don't know.
Knowing Toei, it's some weird cipher of the Japanese.
Yeah. He's speaking Grungy!
Yeah, he's speaking Grungy. Sorry to keep cutting you off.
No, that's fine.
What I wanted to point out by bringing up the fact that Adonis and Arya seem to have feelings is this sort of puts Alan in a weird position, because with family members like this, you know what this makes Alan? The goth emo teen.
Yep.
Who has no emotions and is like, humans suck.
I'm sorry.
He's daddy's favorite because that's what his father wants.
I'm sorry, are you just figuring that out now?
Well, until we saw the other family members, we were led to believe that all of these not people were kind of the same way. Because Igor's that way, Javel's that way.
You know what? I think Adonis wants everything to be like that. Like, that's his end game. He thinks that's how we're going to make the perfect world. So, Alan's daddy's little favorite because he is the only member of the family like that. He is exactly what Adonis wants everyone to be.
And who the fuck is this Adonis guy, and why is he interested in our world, and why does he want to make it a utopia when he has his own utopia in his world already?
Because he's from the human world, but he just misses the frigging beauty of everything along with the...
So instead he's just going to destroy the beauty and make it another...
No, he's just going to kill all the humans and leave the beauty.
I was going to say that actually... No, for real. That would make sense if, like, yeah, he was from the human world, and, like, he, like... His mind warped after entering or creating the Ganma world or whatever.
And now he thinks, created a new world.
Now he thinks, oh, this is how the Earth should be. Woo. You know? And who knows? We'll see when we see. Lane, you looked like you have something to say.
You know...
Were you about to say how you think, oh, he's right?
Oh, yes.
You fascist dick.
You know what? Because, like, Adonis was saying, like, oh, my dream is that, you know, we must turn on the human world into our world, or there's, like, you know, no wars and stuff. I'm like,
Is that so bad?
Like, at the cost of free will, individuality, and the beauty of the earth?
Yes.
God, it's equilibrium.
Lane, you know, you come off as innocent, but you got a bit of a dark streak to you, don't you? Supporting fascist governments all the time! You don't know he's got a tattoo of the Empire on his arm.
Yeah, a tattoo of the Empire.
But the records show that Cell is holding a gun and has his sleeve rolled up like a street punk.
Yeah, showing off my tattoo of a bird. Symbol of freedom.
I mean, fair.
Why not? I don't know.
Symbol of, I wish I could fly.
I did wish I could fly. It ended badly.
Oh, that's why I'm here.
No, you're the guy at the beginning of Kick-Ass.
No, I landed on kittens. They luckily broke my fall, and I broke them.
Talking cat!
Oh God!
Like there was like nine of them.
Cat.
A talking cat.
So, but the beginning of the episode was interesting because Takaru's confronting Makoto. He's like, "Wait, so you're going? What do you mean your body's in the Gamma World?" And he's like, "Oh, that's how it works. That's why I'm here." Which I then proceeded to respond with, "What about canon?
Her body's there too. That's why she was an icon."
No. But then why did Makoto get some kind of human form?
No, Vector.
No, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. Canon was revived, which means it's safe to say that's actually her body.
Fair.
Yeah.
Maybe Canon's in on it.
Wouldn't surprise me at this point, the way she's so friendly with Alan. But no.
How would that be for a kick in the nuts?
Jesus fuck.
Yeah, I want to know the relation between her and Alan.
It's really hard to gauge anything at this point, even in episode 21, because there's lots of shit about their time in the Gamma World. We still have no clue.
I don't know if that's a sign of, like, clever writing that keeps you guessing. Like, you don't know what's going on, for it's actually like, you really don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
God damn it, Ghost.
I have to admit, it's keeping me intrigued.
Yeah.
This show has the possibility of maybe, like, paying off greatly.
Yeah.
But it also, like, that's the thing that any show can do, is it keeps building up to this moment, and then it's either going to be great, or it's going to shit the bed entirely.
Yeah. What I thought was interesting is one point early in the episode where you see Igor in the company he's infiltrated, which, by the way, the Deep Corporation, their icon is the share button icon. And I thought it was funny that Igor, the very closed-minded, killer-mad scientist, is standing in front of a poster on the wall that says, "Broaden your outlook."
Oh, I do love subtlety.
Also, Steve Bells is doing things.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about him.
Hey, Steve Bells is awesome.
We have not seen
him. He's being controlled. He can't help it.
Good for that. We haven't seen it do anything useful yet, except just have a room of controlled office schmucks.
Also, we get introduced to, which honestly I think is my favorite Gamma as of right now, pretty much Joan of Arc Gamma.
Yeah,
that's literally what she is.
I saw Knight in White and talking, and it's a female voice. I'm like, yes, Joan of Arc.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I think
and you're, no, not Saber.
You guys, I know.
You guys are wrong.
That was what we. You know what I mean?
Oh, that was everybody's assumption.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, it's not Joan of Arc. It's clearly Brienne of Tarth.
Oh.
Right
now, to be fair, Brienne of Tarth is based off Joan of Arc. So
yeah.
So fuck.
But no, I liked it because, like, I like that they're showing more of these Gamma who are just aren't like, "Argh, do what my master says to attack everybody."
Actually, no, that's what I've got to give Ghost. The Gamma are interesting.
They're giving personalities to the Mooks.
Yeah.
Well, not Mooks, but you know what I mean.
Monster of the Week.
The Monster of the Week.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, okay, yeah, lots. Granted, this is a more recent thing, like holding on to him more than once. But at the same time, it's like, even I remember back in the early days, like the Sword Ganma and like the Hatter Ganma, yeah. They had interesting personalities.
I'm genuinely surprised that the Paint Ganma is lasting this long, because usually every time a monster gets befriended, they either die immediately or betray them first.
Now
before dying.
His name is Kubi.
Yeah, his name is Kubi.
They've
now
named him. Jesus, he's gonna die.
Yeah.
Actually, you name it, they're dead.
Like, well, Jesus.
Don't get attached.
Now put that thing back where it came from, or so help me. No, the reason he's here is to do more with portals.
Yeah.
Like, we gotta think with portals now.
Akari literally hooks a doohickey to him, and they channel a portal through his happiness.
You know what I wouldn't mind? Because I actually like him. I think he's like, you know...
Happiness.
He just wants to paint.
I am so repulsed by him.
Why?
I like him. His voice is annoying, though.
Thank you.
Well, voice, yes, it's odd, but like, I was gonna say, imagine if, like, by the end of this, he gets, like, a human form or something.
Oh,
Or maybe, like an upgrade, so he can actually fight with them.
Bring him back to life.
Ooh.
He grew a penis on the fucking Inari's head. No, like, cause he draws, like, a cone thing onto his...
He did what any child would do when given a fucking sketchbook. He drew a dick.
No! Because, he draws this cone thing on Onari, and then he puts, a hat, and Onari puts a hat on to cover it, but it just clearly looks like a dick. And he's just, running around,
It's a dick
covering it with a hat did the opposite of helping.
You know what I liked about the Joan of Arc one, though?
Hmm?
I liked her code of ethics.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, she was a real knight. She wouldn't harm women or children.
She went on about chivalry and stuff.
But then Igor gets his dirty mitts on her
and
makes her, just fuck everyone.
Yeah. We get another capturing the souls moment, which seems to be Igor's shit.
And then we get fucking Onari getting taken out again.
Which was sad.
Yeah, no, and also Shibuya and Naruto. The other guy got
taken
out. But then they're better at the end. Yay.
I don't care. But yeah, that really sucked. And also, fucking Spectre came in as Nobunaga again. I'm tired of that.
Yeah,
he doesn't have many options, and they're not going to spend budget on Houdini unnecessarily.
Well, then just go to Tutankhamun.
Yeah, fucking I like Tutankhamun so much more.
Switch him up, bitch.
Tutankhamun.
I would say he uses them fairly balanced.
Mm.
Biggest point of the whole thing though, after Igor. Hypnotizes or whatever Joan of Arc. Joan of Arc says, yeah, give me all your icons or I'm killing everyone.
And he has them in a bag.
He just has them
sack. He has all those tiny round things in a sack and he shakes it all about.
And some spill out.
I can't believe I didn't even think about this or even consider it when the Ghost Driver was released. I was like, wait, he doesn't have an icon holder.
They could have easily just made him Pokeballs and just had him attached to little clips around the belt.
It's one of those things where you can't think about it. He just pulls one out. That's happened to be the right one.
Yeah.
Well, now it could be said also that because the icons have minds of their own,
they could have responded to his will.
Yeah.
Also,
which I'm willing to accept at this point.
Also, that cute little moment where just Edison kept poking at Takuma's jacket.
Each of them are doing that.
Looks like motherfucking Pikachu up in there.
And I just love when he gets sucked into Edison for his speech of the soul. And he's
say that again.
You're Edison.
Yes, I am Edison.
No, did you say that again?
I am Edison.
What?
He got sucked into Edison, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sucked into Edison.
Yeah, and he got that little speech, and there's a lot of English going on, which makes sense.
Yeah.
And the whole, the famous quote by Edison is used, what was it, invention? Or
1%.
1% inspiration, 99% perspiration.
Ha ha. Yeah. Beans work hard, kids!
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, and that, makes Takuru go, oh my god, I just gotta believe in myself, and I can do it.
Oh my god, had to believe in himself?
You mean that thing from episode one that you had, and then it didn't work out for you at first?
Yeah, I love how they backpedaled on that. It's amazing.
Well, because telling kids to believe in themselves is a horrible idea.
Yeah.
I called that, didn't I, Lane? You've been rewatching?
I haven't gotten that far yet.
I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure I said something along the lines of, haha, don't work hard, or whatever it was. Don't believe in yourself, just work hard.
Yeah.
Now it's, I said, they're gonna have to switch that up at some
work,
point.
Work, parentheses, work.
You better work, bitch.
The biggest. Yeah, so Makoto fucking went to the Gamma World.
Because
he's an icon!
He's been an icon! He is a specter! Amazing how they've tied that all together.
Jesus.
Told you. Cannon's an icon.
Yeah.
So his chime on his belt is a fucking lie. He is not the pulse-pounding ghost. He's not a Doki Doki ghost, though.
But no, this both of them got turned into icons, and Spectre somehow was able to channel human form.
Because he has the belt.
We still don't know how we got the belt, I should point out.
Sage!
Sage.
Not explicitly stated.
We will
like,
see.
Here's the thing. I feel like...
He had a lab with all of the icons in it.
Yeah, he gave him the belt.
Okay, that's what we're meant to assume, but I feel like if it was that simple, we would have been told about it already.
You know, like, it was cool, though, to see that little lab with all the icons after they were stolen.
Yeah, I like how we bothered pedestals. To, like, put them in random placements on these little colored platforms all around the room surrounding the icon.
Wait. Oh, my God. I get it. It's Lane.
Also, that thing where he had the frigging Grateful Driver.
The icon driver.
Whoa! Yeah. Whoa! I'm ascending to the heavens, guys!
Ah! There he goes. But he fell.
False alarm. He's still here.
Shortage of chairs, guys. It's true.
Bring your towel.
I fell because there were no chairs.
Also, we saw like a scene where like Makoto he infiltrates Altair.
Yeah.
Which okay. First off, why does he have to when like. You know, I don't think everyone in the whole castle knows that Alan, like, isn't friends with Makoto anymore. So you think they could just be like, oh, hey, Makoto, what's up, man? Hey, what's going on? I'm just gonna go see
Alan. Then he might go and mention, hey, your buddy Makoto's here.
But instead he'll call attention to himself by literally going in guns blazing.
So apparently, like, the castle's guarded by, like, icon guards, which is the silliest fucking thing ever.
It's as effective as you think it'll be.
Hey, no, think about it. There have been, like, other castles in fiction with, like, floating eye sentries.
The eyes are fucking huge!
And just seeing Makoto walking around unhinging, wielding the Gangan hand, it's just silly.
There is something off about seeing someone wielding one of those without the armor and
I thought it was cool.
It literally looks like he's holding a toy.
Well, he is. I mean, you're right.
You're right, though.
And because Ghost handed over all of his hero icons, the eye catch at the end of the episode just updates accordingly.
Which I like that. I like, you know,
Ichi just laughed instantly.
Yeah, I'm like, oh yeah, you've got no icons except Ore and Togan.
What's really funny, though...
Very quiet. I'm hunting Ganma.
What's really funny, odd, though, is, like, Alan doesn't give a shit about the human world, like, not at all. But then it's like, the sky was blue. So beautiful.
It was pretty.
I liked it. I wish our sky was like that.
And his dad's like, I will make it like that, son.
And he's just like, and Adele's just, like, watching through, like, this icon that's, like, he's looking in the room, he's just like, fucking piece of shit. No, like, Adele is, like, he's barely been in the show, he's barely said anything, and, like, I don't care for him. And apparently next week it's just, like, he has a plan or a trap or something, and he's putting into focus. In one of the shots in the preview, we see something happens to Adonis, so... I feel like Adele's trying to kill off his father so he can usurp the throne.
Maybe.
So... Fuck, I'm so sad my Sage being their father theory wasn't right. I'm so pissed off about that. Fucking sure!
Maybe Edith is secretly their real father.
No! That's dumb. Anyways.
Are you saying there's nothing dumb in this show?
Yes. No, the show's all dumb.
Lane, if you would take us into the next section, please.
Wait, I'll do it properly. Hang on a second.
Now that you have the more...
And then I'll do it like how the bad guys do it.
Pono kakuse!
Oh shit, a lion! He's not dead!
So, Jew Ojer episode 4.
Going strong.
Yes. This was a Leo and Sarah focused episode, which, yeah, we got a twofer. They just decided, you know what?
They're not as important.
Fuck you. How dare you say that about my bae?
You just said they got a twofer. Which means they didn't deserve individual episodes.
No, it's because the reason it's a twofer is because they both have
character development with each other. Like, they have
their
personalities clash.
Yeah.
Literally and, like, emotionally and physically. They clash.
So the monster of this week is a Viking throwing tiny blue nets on people.
And electrocuting them. It was actually kind of brutal.
Not brutal. It would look... it was brutal because they were probably dying, but it just looks so goddamn ineffective. Because they just picked up these nets. It didn't look like nets. It looked like the kind of mesh they used for packing fruit. Like, I mean, like, buy a rope net, for God's sake. It honestly reminded me of that scene from Kung Pao, you know, Enter the Fist.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that was a brilliant idea, using the tiny net to catch him. Yes, the tiny net is a death sentence. It's a net and it's tiny.
Love that movie.
Like, what the fuck was this? Like, all throughout this episode, I gotta say, the bad guy's, like, props... Like, the prop department, they really fucked up on this one. Yes, just buy some loose wire.
I'd like to draw everyone's attention, though, that the first note on the episode is, band immediately stopped.
Yeah, because...
Good job, Ichi.
The episode starts with, like, this, like, street band about to perform, and they're like, one, two, three, four. Ah!
Nets!
My weakness!
Not a net.
And, you know, they interrupted these two schoolgirls taking a selfie with each other, so...
I just love the fact that, like...
No, not the selfie.
All these people got hit with nets and fell over, and then in, like, the next shot, all of these four separate groups of people are suddenly just smushed together in one giant...
That's what I call Sentai editing.
Chris, you've clearly never fished before.
So you cash.
You know what I thought they were gonna do, actually, at first when I saw the nets coming out? I thought, it's going to be a gladiator one. Because, you know, that was a thing.
Nope, Viking.
Nope, Viking. He's axe themed.
It's okay, guys, we got a Viking.
You know why, though, right? Because, you know, they heard that Vikings used boats a lot, and boat equals water, so net.
Yeah,
obviously.
That's one hell of a reach. So, in this episode, Mario is a goat.
You mean goat?
Sheep. Burr.
No, it was a goat.
It had horns.
Mm.
So a goat.
But it...
All the goats do bad.
All of the bad jokes.
Cast Ranger!
Hashtag itchy pun. So I made it.
No, I'm glad... I love Mario's animal costumes. They're creative and funny.
They're using him just enough to not be annoying.
Yeah,
so at least for now.
So far.
He's just in the costume for the one scene, and then the rest of it, he's just being Mario.
I want to say something quickly, because I just realized this. How bad was Tokuger and Ninjer that every time we say something to praise this show, we follow up with, so far. Hopefully it'll stay good.
Yeah.
Like who hurt us? Why can't we love again?
I don't know. Two in a row is pretty bad.
That's what I mean. Like we're like beaten dogs or something. Who says like maybe it'll be better? But
we're spousal abuse victims.
I'm shielding my heart.
Well, I
want to love again, but I don't know if I can.
He's
really not that bad.
Listening to old Cast Ranger episodes, we have at least proven that we're fucking fortune tellers. We see the predict shit.
Yeah,
Listening to us.
No. Lane brought this up earlier. Sal came up with a really good theory.
Okay, so Lane, say what you want to say first.
So, like, because Noble, like, I was listening to the episode where, like, we were thinking about, like, oh, where is the Anshurikin? I made a joke, like, oh, you know, Yoshitaka's got stuck up his ass or something. And then Noble said, like, oh, you know what? Maybe he has the Anshurikin inside him. And then we're like, oh, yeah, he is the Anshurikin. Oh, boy, were we right about that.
And that moment where you predicted the Chaser film.
Exactly.
Yeah, oh, no, you predicted the Chaser. Oh, yeah, I did predict the Chaser film. That's right.
Basically, we have a knack for predicting what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
We are frequently right, which is a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know... We want to believe it's because we know how this shit works. Like we're kind of like two steps ahead. But then I had to be the asshole and say, guys, maybe it's just not that thought out. Maybe it's just predictable on its own.
Yeah, maybe Toei's just predictable.
Maybe we're not the smart ones here. They're just the dumb ones.
Yeah.
You know what would be funny if we started doing, like, putting down actual official predictions on our website and just keeping track of what came true and what didn't?
It'd be interesting, to say the least. But, So where were we then? after Lane rose us up and I brought us down.
So Sarah and Amu go shopping, because as we've learned from last week, women be shopping.
Women be shopping.
And apparently Leo follows them, but in the next shot, he comes running at them from the opposite direction, so great continuity there. Full points.
Maybe he lost them for a second or something.
Well, that could have been it. Like he was maybe they finished and he was still catching up.
If he had said something like, oh, I finally found you.
We got 20 minutes!
That would have been fine. Oh, come on! They could have spent 2 seconds with one extra line to explain.
Ichi, you're playing too much into this.
Belt mechanics!
You're playing too much
into this. Belt mechanics, damn it. That should be like the logo we put right over the TV to remember. Belt mechanics!
But you can obviously tell Sarah's not too fond of Leo because of
history past.
Because feminist.
No, also...
That's the thing. I'm actually... So everyone... Like, we don't need to talk about it in order. So, yeah, Sarah doesn't like Leo because he's chivalrous and holds back against her.
She's one of those women who's like, no, I don't need your fucking help. Stop.
I don't need your pity.
She's one of those women who yell at a guy for opening the door for her.
Yeah.
Also,
she don't need no man.
Exactly. Also, she's tomboy.
A shark. I should hope so.
That's true.
She's a tom shark.
What does that have to do with anything?
She's a predator.
Sword, tigers.
They're all predators.
And lions, except for Tusk.
They're all predators.
No, but I actually like...
Wait, hold on. Oh, sorry, like, I got... Okay, go funny bit. Find for some science with Cell.
Oh, no.
No, for real. Like, I just find it funny that... And who knows, maybe this is just her thing coming out. Sharks, when they mate, to initiate the mating, get this, the male will... very hard bite her back. And that's how you tell if a female has mated. She will have a big chunk of her back missing.
Ooh,
like okay. They're called mating scars.
Oh.
That's how it works.
Oh.
So female sharks, in order to produce more babies, must be physically abused.
Domestic violence in the ocean.
So, wow. Like, I wonder if like that was some writer's like way of going, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Like, chicks rule. Fighting back.
Next episode of Zoja, we discover Sarah has a horrifying scar on her back.
Oh!
Oh.
What, does that mean she's a mother?
Maybe.
She's had her babies literally eat each other inside of her? That's what happens with sharks.
Oh, God. But yeah, I like this part of Leo's personality, that he's very, like,
he's
chivalrous, and he's just like, I won't fight women, men are supposed to protect women, and stuff.
Serious thing. I agree, and I disagree with him. Like, there's the idea, like, okay, you know, yeah, you shouldn't, of course, you should not just hit a woman, like, just out of nowhere. You shouldn't hit anyone out of nowhere. But... the fact is, in a, like, because they turns out they were actually in like fights together, like you know, tournaments,
martial
arts tournament. At that point, if you don't fight her, you actually don't respect her.
Yeah, because you're agreeing to a fight, so it's like you have consent to fight at your best. So
yeah, and you have to go all out.
Ironically, I just watched this episode of Futurama, and it was meant as a joke, but I think there's a little bit of a truth in there. It was the episode where they met the Star Trek cast, and they went down onto the fanboys' planet.
Walshy!
Yeah, exactly that one. And there's this one bit where Leela and Shatner are about to have a fist fight, and Shatner goes, there's no right way to hit a woman. And Leela says, then do it the wrong way.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I like that kind of like idea in this sort of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Leo's a good guy, but he's a little backward in his thinking.
No,
yeah.
But... honestly,
his heart's in the right place, but his brain isn't.
But honestly, I'd be the same way. Like,
but ironically, he has courage.
If a woman was like, oh, you know, fight me or something, I'd just be like, no.
Wow, Lane, I guess you don't respect women.
He visited the Wizard of Ozu.
Oh dear.
To quote Steve Carell from 40-Year-Old Virgin, I respect women so much that I stay away from them completely.
You just got Lane in a nutshell right there.
Yeah.
But no, like, yeah, I can relate a lot to Leo. Like, obviously, I'm not really a brave person. I'm actually, pun intended, I'm quite a pussy, to be honest.
Lane, anyone...
pun intended!
Lane, anyone who could wear pink in public...
You trust me, you're braver than you think.
I know. Braver than it.
Anyone who could wear those glasses.
Hey. Hey. I like my glasses.
No, Ichi, not yours. Yours are beautiful, baby.
I actually wanted to get thicker ones.
Shit, too. Baby.
Shit, baby, I'm the only one here not wearing some shit on my face or my head.
Okay. You started with faith, and I was about to say something. Yeah, but, like, ahead. Okay. No, you got me there.
Mr. Cap America over
there. I liked it, though, that when, like, because... When, what's the name of the Viking guy?
Amigard.
Amigard.
Whoa, his name is Amigard?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Why, is that a thing?
Asgard.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I'm assuming that's the kind of connection you're going with.
Explore!
It's Viking.
Yeah. Yep. I liked though, like, he's like, alright, you guys seriously, like, need to fight or whatever like that, and they're like, and Sarah's like, yeah, I want you to fight for real, like, don't... You know, don't hold bullshit. Back against me. Yeah, don't bullshit. Don't hold back against me. He's like, all right, fine. And they go into their human forms. And
that was a great moment.
And he proceeded to hold back anyway.
I liked, though, that, like, Sarah, like, scratched him, and he actually had, like a red scratch on his face.
Which he then pretended to wipe off, but didn't.
Yeah. And then, later on, when he reverts back to his human form, he still has scratches on his face.
And another scratch on his other cheek.
Yeah.
But yeah, that moment, that's one of the things I'm really going to enjoy about this show is just the moments where you know they're going serious and they just turn into their human forms. That is a great
That's a good idea.
Oh.
They like lose control.
Do you know what would be cool? I know this is like speaking way too far ahead, but honestly, I will love if they, in the ending episode where they're doing the final fight, they're
in their suits
with their zoom-in heads.
Fuck yes.
Oh, man.
I don't know, we might have another Jungle Fury on our hands in that case.
Oh, were they... Yeah.
Oh.
I must quote Lewis Lovehog on this one. No.
Actually, yeah, that's...
Okay,
yeah.
But if you watch that in Gekki Ranger, they don't have human forms.
I know, but still.
No.
Just
no.
Why'd you have to go and remind me of that?
Because it's wonderful. going back, sorry, though... Okay, actually, no.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, this has nothing to do with the fight.
Oh.
So if you had something more to say.
No, I didn't.
What the fuck was he turning him into barrels?
So they could... Oh, yeah.
Get them up into space!
So, yeah, Amigard's battle show
throw
bullshit
them off
was...
the space waterfall.
Oh, my God.
Like Johnny's character?
Space Niagara Falls.
That's a ninja joke. Don't worry about that. But, yeah, so apparently Amigard's thing was he would host these battle shows to amuse Janice, and the way it would work was that he would pair off two people, and they would fight, and the loser would get stuffed into a space barrel.
Turned into one.
Yeah, get turned into a barrel with apparently a release button on the back, mind you.
It looks like it could be bumped, like, very easily.
And just get hucked into space.
You mean like what Amu did?
I did love when they took the two friends, and, like for, like, 2 seconds, like, no, I couldn't hurt my friend. You must! Okay!
Yeah.
Again, I understand 20 minutes.
None of them even considered an alternative.
20 minutes, but this guy's like, there's, like, something else going on here. This guy found out, like, he had slept with his girlfriend.
Yeah, something like that had to be there.
And he was like, nah, fuck it all.
Also, Cell discovered that apparently he has a lot of things in common with the main villain of the show. Please indulge us, Cell.
Well, I just realized, like, I have this thing where I just love watching destruction around me.
You're the challenger, sir.
You're the Joker.
No, for real. I love it when people argue in front of me about stupid shit. Like, if it were really serious, I'd just leave. But... I don't want to be in anyone's way.
Good to know you care.
I mean, just like I'm like yes, this amuses me, and I
now dance.
Like, really, like I always say, like okay, yes, go on, just grab a drink.
You know what? I'm pretty sure you've done that.
I just feel like now back then when
this
like,
is why I don't argue with any of you because then I can't watch it.
Fair.
No, because now I'm, like, thinking back to, like, when Paul and Ichi were just, like, arguing over, like, how Go was, like, was he fucking over Shinosuke or not? And Celis is in the back, like, yes! Yes! Good! Let your hatred flow!
Dance, puppets, dance! Yes, yes. Yes, amuse me. I'll tell you something, I have a pastime, and you guys are more than welcome to do this with me sometime. On, like, Black Friday days and such, it's not as good in Canada, that's why I want to do this in the States one day. Me and some friends, what we do is we go to the malls or whatever and just look. We don't buy anything.
We just go and just watch, like, see if anything happens. Just
watch the stampede.
For real, like, and it's just, it's amazing watching it from that side, where you're just like, this is humanity at its core.
It's just and film it.
Is marvelous.
Just film it.
Okay, guys, let's make a thing right now. Black Friday, we go to Buffalo.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Do it. We have our passports. We'll do it.
I'll bring the beer.
Maybe. Yeah, I'll bring the beers. Anyways, let's continue.
Yes.
So, Leo, of course, like, when they're about to do... Oh, okay. Let's get into... Fuck it. They need to find when they had to. They have to find where Leo and Sarah got captured. So then, like, Yamato's flying around using his eagle vision, can't find them, of course. So then he's like, "Shit, we need to think of a way to find them." Just sees a dog, and then just kind of looks at Tusk. I got it.
There is okay. He takes Leo's socks.
Tusk, I need you to smell this. No.
And then
the perfect. Correct reactions, by the way, for in both cases. Yeah.
And then Amu, being completely oblivious, just pulls out Sarah's, and she's like, how about you sniff these instead? Here's
the problem. I'm pretty sure those weren't Sarah's socks.
They never explicitly say what they are.
I think it was panties.
The fact that they didn't say what it was.
It was implied.
And there was a piece of fabric, and you really couldn't tell what it was.
Which just brings up an even weirder question. Wait, they're wearing underwear?
The ladies are.
Why?
They're humanoid.
How did they get their tails out of it?
Yeah. There's little holes cut in it.
Yeah. They're humanoid.
This one has two holes cut in it.
Oh, no!
Grandpa, how'd you take your underpants off without taking your pants off?
I don't know!
So, yeah, it gets to this thing. Like, it's a great comedy moment, actually. Like, here, sniff these. I'm not sniffing Leo's. Okay, sniff Sailor's. I can't for a different reason!
Totally. That has its own set of problems.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing. Tusk never outright... like, objectified to that, it was Yamato who was like, maybe you shouldn't do that.
And then here's where...
Children's show, right?
And then here's where I think Juojer freaking spent the rest of their budget. Tusk sniffs Leo's socks and then just... Oh, God! Just elephant form, just...
There's a quick
eyes whining, tears flowing out of his eyes.
Like, he might as well have just vomed right there.
Exactly. Oh, good. Just vomits out of his trunk.
Out of the trunk!
It's their nose.
You know what? There you go.
I vomited out my nose once!
You know what?
Ew.
How'd
you pull that off?
It was red and bloody.
It burned on the way out.
I would assume. acid shooting out your nose.
It was a nightmare.
You know what? I vomited out of my dick once.
Is that why they put the catheter in?
Oh, don't remind me. Don't say that word.
I will always say that word.
Trauma inducer.
I've had a catheter. It's not
That's
fun.
Why I brought it up.
Oh. Anyways. So then, like, you just see him, like, he's sniffing. He keeps sniffing it for, like, a long time. And then Mario's just walking. Mario's just walking in with a cup of tea. And he's just, Tusk, what are you doing? And Yamato's like, no, Mario, there's a completely reasonable explanation for this. He's like,
cannot explain
this. And he's like,
So now that I bet you anything, it's going to be a running gag where Mario just thinks Tusk has like a laundry or fetish, or maybe just like a socks or foot fetish or something.
Which, okay, this kind of bothers me. Like, they're trying to like hide the fact that like they're animal people, whatever like that. Honestly... just tell him! Who the fuck is going to believe a man who dresses up as animals and acts like them?
Quick question. They don't seem to give a shit about anyone else knowing. It's just him they're hiding it from.
Who knows? Maybe, I feel like that's a more of like...
That's more Yamato's choice than them.
Yeah,
they've walked around in public in their animal forms before. They give no shit.
Yeah, well, again, that could be like people like, hey, masks, whatever.
Yeah, no, people like, oh, hey, it's monsters walking around. That's normal.
He must be filming a Sentai.
Must be Tuesday.
yeah, that.
I'm gonna just say that's just for now wacky antics. Like, haha, it's for kids.
Hijinks.
You know, so, but eventually he probably will know. But that's the thing. I'm not going to get mad about it. It is stupid, I admit.
But I'm not going to get mad because that's to make the 7-year-olds go, ha ha.
Eventually, yeah, so. They will reveal it to him. Like, exactly. Of course. Or he'll accidentally stumble.
Could you imagine if they doesn't, like, the entire series?
And then, just
like, it's the moment
and
where,
then
like,
during the final battle, he's like, oh my god, you guys aren't human?
No, not even that.
I
like,
should have.
It's literally like,
clues.
As they're about to go to back home to Zooland, bye, they just morph. Wait, what?
The whole time.
So then, yeah, Yamato and Amu and Tusk, they find Leo and Sarah. But just in time is, like, they were both about to strike each other, but then, of course, Leo literally stops himself from countering Sarah's attack, and Sarah's just instantly, like, fucking mad. And then Yamato's like, alright, let's take care of this, and, like, Sarah's like, no, I'm fighting too, I'm mad. And Leo's like, yeah, me too, I want to fucking beat the shit out of this guy. We're both
and
like...
Sarah's just looking at him like, yeah, I'm pissed for a different reason, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
Sorry, just to go back for a second, I just imagine what you were saying about Mario notice finally realizing that they're human at the end. He just looks at Amu as she transforms into her tiger form, and he's just like, a talking cat!
Oh.
Wait, so that's what the cat tail and ears were about? I thought it was just cosplay.
Oh my fucking Christ.
Huh?
What needs to happen when this gets turned into Power Rangers, there needs to be a cameo from Jason Font. Who's in the film A Talking Pony.
The sequel.
And yeah, he needs to go and say that line. A talking cat.
No.
A talking giraffe.
Bonus human, Duffy.
No. If they ever adapt Jojo into fucking Power Rangers, they
which
just
they
need
will.
To do an episode where they just, like, okay, sort of like Beetleborgs, you know what I'm fucking talking about. They need to go to a convention.
Oh, yeah! There will be that. I'll bet you there will be that
I
episode.
Hope.
Hey, that's
God
a real
sake.
Realistic looking cattail you have there.
Thanks! So someone touches it?
Hey!
I wonder if they do turn this into Power Rangers, if they'll go with that angle.
Also, Ichi continues not getting used to their tails going up when they sense danger.
No, that's going to be the whole show.
Jesus Christ, Ichi, how long did it take you to get used to your erection? Were you screaming for the 4 years?
Many years.
Maybe that's an actual...
What's going on?
Maybe that's an actual animal instinct. Their tails go up.
It is.
It is, exactly.
My dick doesn't get hard at first sense of danger.
It doesn't? Mine does.
Mine does, too.
Why do you think I bring this everywhere?
I thought that was supposed to be a substitute for your dick.
No, it's clearly an add-on. Oh, yeah, nice and rigid.
Gonna summon your persona over here.
Yeah, so then they proceed to fight them.
They proceed to go into filler.
Leo and
I love the fucking choreography.
Leo and
these
Sarah
guys
combo very nicely.
That's always the fun thing with any animal-based Sentai, I've noticed. They can have more fun with the types of fighting. Because,
yeah,
you know, with other Sentai, it's like, it's very simple martial arts, right? But because these are animals, they can have more, like, range in what they're doing, you know, like, the different kung fu. Again, that's a reason I love Geki Ranger and Jungle Fury so much, because it's not even just that they're animals, they are literally martial artists.
Yeah.
So there's just so much more you can do.
Yeah, so, like, Leo scratches the shit out of the dude and then launches him up, and then Sarah does the best thing of all time, where she, like, unlocks her, like, super form, and then
just
straight up...
homing attack.
Homing attack, spin ball.
Yep.
It's Sonic.
It's
Sonic!
I was just
she's even blue!
I was just yelling, ninja, son!
No! He made it a ninja reference, so you know what to do.
Ring, ring!
Alright, Lane, where do you want it? In the Kennedy? In the McKinley? Anyone get that? Okay.
Ah! In the dick.
Right in the gar.
My scrotums.
But yeah, so they finish off the monster with this really nice combo of slash
it
and
fucking
shoot.
Looks like a giant mouth. It's fucking awesome.
It's like I call it the fang combo.
Okay, and now this might have just been a, like, continuity error. But again, we've said before, we're getting kind of tired of the fact that What's-Her-Face goes down every single time and gives the same speech. Again, I'm not going to get too mad because they got to hammer that into the kids. That sounded wrong.
Like Arya.
I feel... Oh, dear. I feel like they're going to do that for about 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Anyway, but... So, like, we all, like... That's the joke now that we all say, she's right there! Get her!
Yeah.
But...
Swarm her!
Apparently, she's on the other side of the building.
So apparently they are just leaving.
They legit just walked off.
Unless that was just a continuity error, because we see the guy grow. The Juodras are on the other side of a building.
Yeah.
So, yeah, are they actually just like, the city will take care of that.
It blew up, we're done. Forget that every other monster we fought grew this time, at this point.
Maybe we should just, like, stand over the corpse and see what the fuck happens.
Let's see what's
maybe
going on.
Maybe if we leave, it won't come back.
And she continues to fucking say the thing again.
How great would that be, though, if they actually did that?
Where they left and the monster didn't grow?
No. They stayed. She's like, oh, you stayed. Goes back. Then just from what we say, just from the spaceship.
Just drops the coin from orbit.
And then that's what they do for the rest of the series.
I maintain that if... Okay, the villains are flying through orbit in a fucking giant space bow. I swear to God, if by the end of this show, we don't see that thing shoot the arrow into the planet, I'm gonna be fucking pissed!
Ichi, you know what I'm gonna say that's gonna be? We won't see it, but we're gonna get a lead up to it. Because I think what that is, that's the doomsday of it all. That's like, when we're done with a planet, that's what we do. We literally just, that's the Death Star.
Absolutely.
I feel like that's what that's going to be.
You know, I would accept that.
And that's going to be like, we have to stop it.
With a ship designed like that, that seems like the way to do it.
With a ship designed like that, that shit ain't getting 4 feet off the ground, but that's beside the point.
No, that's how they launched. They flung themselves up by shooting the bow.
You can't shoot an entire bow and arrow with another bow and arrow.
It was like on a giant space
monster. But hey, this is Sentai, where traveling through time involves a giant robot punching you. So,
I bet you anything.
What do I know?
The space bow ship was like placed on a giant crossbow that launched them.
Oh God!
Hey, that's a theory.
Oh God.
A bow theory!
But, yes.
That was it. Battles Are More Fun to Watch was a fun one-liner from the guy.
That was
which
great.
Which is true. It's funner to watch than to be involved.
I disagree. I enjoy both sides. Twitch.tv.
It depends on what I'm fighting. If I'm doing, like, some MMA, maybe, but...
But what I really liked was, even though, what's the name of Beam Light Dude?
Kuar.
Even though his monster failed, Genis was still like
super amused.
He was like, good job, no, that was a fantastic fight.
That was actually quite entertaining.
He's kind of a pimp, where he's just like, hey, no, yeah, you amuse me. We'll get him next time.
Yeah, next time.
That's fine. This is really
And then Blocky Guy just is like,
no,
ah, you fucked up.
Yeah, the big boss is just sitting there like, you know what? Yeah. All in good fun. I'm just enjoying myself. No hurry.
It goes with the sake. It's fine. It's all good.
This is actually really interesting because this is a supervillain who actually straight up doesn't actually want to conquer anything. He just wants to be amused. And his generals are the one that's like, I know the best way to amuse you. Let's eradicate planets!
Oh my God, I just thought of something. Imagine if this is how the series ends, where like they get onto the ship or whatever, or like whenever he comes down to meet them, he just goes, you know what, you guys, this is more trouble than it's worth. I'm going.
He just leaves.
No, not even that, though. Like, they're like, oh, you are going to just go, yeah, why not? You guys are putting up too much of a fight. This isn't fun anymore. So I'm just going to go to a different planet and kill everything there. Wait, what? And that's how... That's
chase through space.
Yeah, they got to stop him. Funny. What was the blue guy's name again? The guy with the teeth?
Azald.
Azald? Yeah, like, we got a good close-up of his face this episode. I'm like, that reminds me of something. And I realized what it was. Like, and I would love it if this was the actual... design, like the guy who made the costume actually thought of this. He looks like Chatterer the Cenobite from the Hellraiser series. At least his mouth, where it's kind of pulled back and you see his gums and teeth. And like that would just be so goddamn cool if that was a direct influence.
I'd like to think that if Genis just
goddamn
visited
Cenobite.
Other planets to conquer them, he finds the planet and just Helheim's there.
He goes to Coda's planet.
Before we go on, I have another theory. Imagine if I'm proven right here, because this would be so cool. Mm-hmm. Now, monster designs in Sentai, they sometimes follow the same theme. Like, they're all mechanical, they're all demons, they're all, like, whatever. They're all alien. But they all look different. Now, the reason is because that way it looks more interesting.
Uh-huh.
How cool would it be, though, if all of Genesis' generals are different aliens from different planets he's gone to. They're the best fighter of that planet. And he, like, offered them the chance to come with him.
Come with me as a general if you want to pay me rewards.
Come with me if you want to live.
Exactly! Like, how cool would that be? It's like, you're the best hunter on your planet, you have the choice to come with me or die here.
Oh. It would explain, because all of the monsters of the week are all different themes of hunters, so...
Exactly.
He recruited them from the planets because they impressed him, maybe?
That'd be cool if that was the actual KI.
Which,
you know what?
Which could lead us into a possible hunter from Earth joining them.
That'd be the world.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, you know what? Actually, though, for real, because they'll probably never say anything to confirm that, but they'll probably never say anything to contrary that. That's what I'm thinking from now on. They're all the best hunters from their planets who decide to come along.
So why the fuck is Naria here?
She's just the support.
She's clearly the one Genesis boning on the side.
Yeah.
Like, come on, let's be honest.
I mean, she doesn't have a face, just a mouth.
Well, that's all you need, baby. I mean, I like a bitch's eyes as much as the next guy.
Also, it's cool every time.
I like how this is the episode where I also, like, pointed out, like, I agree with a lot of feminist views, then I said that.
Yeah.
also, it's cool every time Genesis stands up, everyone's just like, oh, shit.
Oh, God, he's standing up.
Oh, my God, he got up.
He's capable.
He's serious.
He's actually enjoying himself right now.
He's like he's like me. I only get up with a good enough reason.
That's not a good reason.
No, that's like Kevin. Kevin's okay. Always said, I won't go anywhere unless I have a reason to.
Before we wrap up this Juoger, what are we seeing next week? Oh, no, we saw him in
the episode. Larry
the Gorilla Superman.
He's voiced by Deca Master.
Jesus. He looks cool. I like him. He's drinking
tea or something out of a little cube
cup. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because eight faces are kind of human-like to begin with.
All I can say is...
The mask looked great.
All I can say is he's Jamaican as crazy.
Get out.
I think you're out of bullets.
We also saw our first...
No.
We also saw in the episode preview our first actual look at a clip of Zuo Gorilla.
And he looks fucking awesome!
He's inflated as fuck.
He's been eating his spinach.
It's very clearly an air-inflated suit and not packed with anything solid.
But I was so worried that Zuo Gorilla was just going to be like CGI as fuck. So glad it isn't.
I was never worried about
like,
that.
Like, he actually can, like, he looks like he can move around and, like, fight and shit. And I'm like...
Yes, because he's wearing a suit of inflated air.
No, but I'm glad it's a practical thing and it's not, like, CGI.
I was never worried about it being
CGI. I kind of was.
Well. No, you know what will be CGI, if anything? The transformation.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Where he gets, like, ba-doom, yeah.
He's gonna pull a Justin.
Even Justin wishes he was that buff.
If you're that buff, you got tumors.
Tumor Gorilla!
I'm excited for Larry.
Yeah.
Larry's gonna be cool.
Why is his name Larry?
Why the fuck not?
Because
it's like how...
Larry.
The fucking gorilla at the Toronto Zoo's name is Charles.
Just because someone else did it doesn't mean it's okay.
Maybe they were inspired. I feel like that's a thing. What? Maybe there's a gorilla at the Japanese zoo named Larry or something. I don't know.
I feel like when I went to the Toronto Zoo, I saw Charles, and he just like he's so old. He just keeps to himself. I got it.
What? It's based off Larigo.
Why? No, yeah, Elaine, you can.
Ow.
Nothing's coming in. Anyway. But, wow, we talked about Juoger for a while.
Yes.
I think that's
a good thing.
Oh! The Kirin Bazooka can apparently vacuum.
Oh. Okay. I have to say this. I'm not so mad that it can do that. I'm not disagreeing that it can do that. My only question is, how do they know it could do that?
Because morphing gives you knowledge.
It's literally Mega Made. Ain't that magical.
Suck.
On that note.
Suck. Suck.
Yeah.
Speaking of magicians.
Week 2 of Magi March. We watched a couple more episodes that were chosen by our absent member, Mr. Yellowcaster Ottogar.
Last time we'll do that.
Bastard.
Yeah, I'm thinking that as well, because he seemed to have picked three disjointed episodes that had nothing to do with the plot.
No, and I don't...
And left me baffled at what the fuck was going on.
So, we watched episode... Last week we did episodes 1, 2, and 3, and at Gar's request this week we watched episodes 5, 15, and 27.
Well, 6, 15, 27.
What did those episodes have to do with each other?
It was 5.
I'm pretty sure it was 6.
5.
It was 5.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it was 6!
You want me to move the chat? It was 5.
Pretty sure it was
6. Go ahead and look.
It was
5. I remember it was 6.
Well, you remember wrong. Like, yeah, so, like, what do these episodes do with each other? Nothing.
5 focuses on Hoka, and the other 2 focus on Makito.
Which, I like Makito, but, like, what the hell? Okay, like, they weren't bad, I should say. They weren't, like, they were fun, but they were, like, God, were they filler.
Yeah, well, I almost feel like watching episodes that were not filler in such an isolated fashion may not have been the best idea, actually. So, I don't know. I feel like we should have watched Magi Shine's debut and possibly the Wolzard Fire episode, maybe.
Yeah, you know, you're in charge of this from now on.
I can't do everything.
Gar, you know we love you and stuff, but I don't know. You probably could have given us context on what these episodes were.
Here's the problem. I'm about to call this a problem, but there's really no alternative. These episodes were chosen by someone who's watched the show. So, he has all the context, which...
So he just wasn't thinking of Bella.
Possibly. Because I was going to say, like, it wouldn't be a good idea for someone who hasn't watched the show to pick episodes either, because spoils.
I get it. Gar, he picked these 3 episodes because they're the ones that he considers, like, to be funny or something, or he likes.
I guess.
So, like, Gar, man, you gotta sometimes
love
you gotta think of the team.
Okay, enough shitting on Gar. Let's
keep shitting on Gar. No. Okay, well, I'm going to say this. There weren't bad episodes.
No.
Okay, we'll go as we go. So let's start with episode 5. What happens in episode 5, guys?
Ink transforms into shed.
Kai's trying to romance his soccer club manager.
And his older sister is trying way too hard to help him.
Hoka turns into shit and tries to help, but fucks it up.
What things does she transform into? Let's see. A honeybee.
Creepy as fuck.
Her generic fan that she turns into a lot.
A mailbox.
A mailbox. A stereo.
When she turned
And she somehow, while she was a stereo, was also able to pull in dramatic mood lighting.
Yeah,
on the other side of the building.
I was sitting there like, wait. If she turned herself into a boombox, where's the light coming from?
Yeah.
So when she turned into the bumblebee, it was just, you know, I've sat through some terrifying things in my life. I mean, I've seen some shit, but that was what broke me. When I watched I felt like my mind detach.
That suit was way too fuzzy.
It's not that though. Like, I mean, I felt my mind detach, and I was happy for a moment. I went away to it. To a nice hill and saw the sunset. I had a little soliloquy to myself, and I'll share with you. Well, my friends, it's time to go. My motorcycle is calling, and it's getting dark outside. I'll leave you with these thoughts. Smart lad, to slip be times away from fields where glory does not stay. And early though the laurel grows, it withers quicker than the rose. Aye, shady, night has shut. Cannot see the record cut, and silence sounds no worse than cheers after earth has stopped the ears. So set before the echoes fade, the fleet foot on the shills of shade. And it was at that point my mind came racing back to the goddamn fan that I thought, no, I can't have a moment of astrophysicalness. I need to review the goddamn Magi Ranger.
Oh.
She turned into a mailbox!
And then tried to say that she was not!
And then that just made me realize fucking Kasumi fucking transforms into a mailbox better than she does. Because you don't see pink mailboxes!
People. you have to understand, we are now comparing the quality of mailbox transformations by Pink Rangers.
Because, frankly, what the fuck else happened in this episode?
Guys, we've gone full insane!
Guys, are we dumb? No, really. Are we stupid? I have a master's in architecture. I could tell you how many rooms a building can have before the structural integrity is breaking point. But I can't tell you, like, when we should stop comparing which Pink Ranger can turn into a better mailbox. What are we doing?
And of course, because it's one of those shows where a superhero with a secret identity likes a girl, he saves her while he's Magi-Red, and she falls in love with the superhero one, not knowing that they're the same person.
I did like that. Just that moment of like, just like,
yeah, and he's just standing there, and they're all like, "Oh my god, we're, you know, a Kai." It's
maybe,
okay. Like,
maybe you should go out with her as Magi-Red.
Ew.
He's like, shut the fuck up, I'm gonna kill you!
It's gonna be that moment later in their life, like, if they do end up together, like, where, like, they're married or whatever, and, like, they're going...
Okay,
they're gonna
now
have
that
sex.
We're married, I can actually tell you this?
Or, no, I was gonna say, like, she loves him, but it's more for the security of it all, you know? but deep down, she still holds that little feeling for Magi-Red, so she's just like, tonight, could you wear this? It's like a red cape.
I'll do you one better.
Transform!
Suddenly far more happy with this marriage. Well, let me just de-transform. No.
You know what I found awkward? Now, I understand it's a cultural thing. I shouldn't get mad. The whole wind upskirt thing.
Like, oh,
called
yeah.
it the second she turned into
no,
a fan.
No, I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, God, that skirt is going up. Nope. Oh, yeah, upskirt shot of a schoolgirl. That's classy.
They didn't actually come close
you'll
to showing
see
it.
But, yeah. No. Just she's
you
like,
saw?
Oh, you saw?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, wait, no. Okay, I did like how that, like, just that inner teenager in him was like, yeah.
Yeah.
what was his name? Kiba? Sheba? From, Die Ranger.
Kiba Ranger.
Yeah, Kiba Ranger. Wasn't that something he always used to do?
Yes.
Like, well, use his wind powers
when
to
he,
blow skirts
when
up?
He first got his powers as Kiba Ranger, he just decided, you know what, I'm just gonna
mischief.
Fucking abuse him. So, yeah, fucking pulls girls' skirts up, skateboards on a truck, plays baseball.
Ooh. Not baseball!
No, and he throws the fucking baseball, pitches at the guy who's like, and he almost kills the dude! Sends him fucking flying!
I'm a Power Ranger! I'm gonna get up to all sorts of mischief! Baseball!
No.
See, that's how you know what a kid would actually do with these powers.
No, but... sorry, this is off topic, but, like, the best part about Kiba Ranger, though, is just, like, at the end of one episode... He's like, the Pink Ranger is like, he's just like, oh, it's okay, you know, like, you're a good little boy. He's like, oh, yeah, of course. Fucking just gropes her boobs. He's like, ha, runs off. She's like, ah! And the guys are like, oh, that kid.
Oh, him.
Man.
Boys will be boys.
They should use that footage from Mighty Morphin.
Fucking just Tommy groping Cat.
Oh, dear.
Hey! These are mine!
Are we dumb? No, really.
You've done this to us! This is your fault!
This show could have been so much better.
Gar, hold still. I'm gonna get you through the airwaves. Gotcha.
Oh, we're gonna watch some Die Ranger episodes. I'm gonna show you Kiba Ranger.
Does anyone even remember what the fucking monster of the week from that episode was? Because I don't.
Wasn't it a taxi?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the taxi!
No, that...
No, that was that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Girl. Yeah, the Monster of the Week from that episode was actually really amazing.
Oh, yeah. Actually, no, it was...
Proto Houdini.
Yeah.
The whole idea was it was a taxi that would, entice people to... Oh, it's a taxi. It should be safe. They would come in and would kill them. What I thought was cool, the design of it was really neat.
Oh, yeah.
It's big.
Yeah, but like I said, while we were watching it, it looked like a prototype of Houdini Dimashi because, like, when it turns into its monster form, the, like, sides of the car are, like, wings on its back, and you can see the tires.
Yeah. And then I realized something. This series, at least as far as I've seen, happens to have a lot of... Okay, because here's the thing. Monsters in Sentai, yeah, they're monsters, but they tend to be sentient. You know, they're robots or they're aliens or yeah. again. But this time they're full on animals, basically.
Yeah.
Like you had this thing, you had the giant worm.
Here's the thing. That's mostly the early show. Later show has more intelligent creatures.
Yeah, but I still like but that's just a thing that tends to happen in Sentai, like halfway through the series yeah. we switch over. But I think that's an interesting idea. These are just straight up animals. Like hell,
they're monsters from hell.
Nyanma calls it her pet.
Yeah.
Nyan Mare.
Nyanma. Yeah.
That's what I said. What did I say?
My.
I said my?
Yeah.
I just love how when they like encounter her for the first time in this episode, Uhura just shouts out, Nyanma! And I just wanted her to just have a moment of clarity and just go, I get it.
Yeah. But overall, like this was like episode 5, so yeah, this is gonna be a filler episode. It was cute.
But like, yeah, the monster like would actually transform from an actual car and like open up Transformer style into this beast form.
It was, oh, the fucking hood.
The hood opened up with just teeth! Teeth everywhere!
You know what it reminded me of? The piano from Mario 64.
Yeah! Bum,
bum, bum, bum. That makes me back.
Yep. That was
Jesus Christ.
What was I going to say? I like to, like, again, I always like little real science lessons in shows like this because, you know, it might inspire kids to learn something. And I think that's cool. There was that part where they're like, something that can mimic something else? You mean like this? And they show some, like, insects that actually mimic plants to get their prey. That's cool.
Morphological being.
That looks something like this? I will quote that to the day I die. Right.
So will we in a couple weeks.
Oh, yes, you will see. Oh. That'll be, like, on my deathbed surrounded by my children and stuff.
Quick, go to Phaedos and revive me.
Just you must. No. Like, you know, kids, like, talking about stuff from, like, decaying matter. Did it look something like this?
Okay, so second episode was about Hoka marrying Mr. Fuckface.
Okay.
Mr. Fuckface.
I will say again, these episodes had nothing to do with anything, but they were good episodes. Let's be honest.
This one was honestly my favorite.
This was good character development. I'll give it that. Where, yes, what's her name? Hoka?
Hoka.
Hoka is getting married. Oh dear. What are we gonna do? And the whole thing is, and like, you know, I'll give this show credit. It surprised me. Where, because at the beginning of the episode, you see, what was it, like, the Grim Reaper or Vampire or something?
The skeleton monster.
The Red Skull. And I'm like, wait, where are the Nazis then?
Yeah, this fucking Promethean nice looking motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. No, I did. I did.
But yeah, it has, like, it opens up its main face and has a red skull under it. So Lane and I were immediately like, Prometheans!
Hail for!
But, so, yeah, you see at the beginning of the episode, it preys on young women, right? Mostly. That's what we see at the beginning, at least.
Yeah.
So what I thought this was going to be, it was going to be cliche, like, oh, he's the monster, he's trying to get close to the Magi Rangers.
Oh, yeah, right? I can see how you would think that.
But, to the show's credit, it didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what basically how it goes. Hoka wants to get married, and all her and her brothers and sisters are just like, "Oh my god, marriage!" Ah! Except for
Makoto, who's super aniki against it.
He does this amazing like red face thingy, and that's
our surprise. Didn't go green face. I'll see myself out.
Here, you can take the easy way out.
Is it?
I'll let you do the honors.
Okay, hold still.
Oh, no, I made an ninja reference.
I just want to make a... Oh, yeah, here we go. I just want to note, I've used this thing, like, only 5 times this entire episode. How much did I use it when Gar was here?
Lenny.
Yep.
Every time he said something.
Someone go listen back to that open episode.
Hell yeah.
Crunchman, get on that shit.
So you know,
crunch those numbers.
You know, Green Magi, he's just like, no, I'm against this, you know,
you will not get any of my aniki salad!
And then I was like, no, not the aniki salad!
I did love to, because like, okay, like, do any of you guys have a younger sister?
Yes. Yeah. Mine just got married last week.
No.
Did you do this? Do you have a
I should have.
Do you have a much younger sister?
No.
Like how? What's the difference between you and your sister?
Raven. Me?
Both of you.
Like 3 years.
You?
4 years.
Okay, my sister is almost 10 years younger than me. So, wow. Like, she, like, you know, she, you know, she's like, oh, will always be a kid to me, right?
Yeah.
So I see exactly where he's coming from on
okay.
this. Where, like, it's the oldest brother, younger sister thing. And, you know, you got to give him room. But just there's always going to be those, like, you know, inner moments of protection. And I thought, okay, this is fun. This is cute. This is semi-realistic.
Well, yeah, I can see how you would relate to that more than us.
Yeah. And there's that whole, like, thing where, like, he's like, no, you can't. And you get the feeling he wouldn't think anyone was good enough. Which yeah. I think is a nice, like, he wasn't doing it because of this guy specifically.
Well,
part of it was, we're getting married tomorrow.
Also, the fact that this guy came in and he's like, hey!
Very, like, in click, the face.
Click, boom!
But there's this great moment, this really nice moment near the end where Buddy's in the garden. And you go out to the church and, like, where's the groom? And what does the groom do?
He shows up in the garden with Makito.
He's like, I really wish we could get your blessing on this. And that's where he reveals, and I was like, oh, that's actually a decent twist. The thing about the monster is it marks you first, then it kills you, yeah. right?
It marks you first, then a couple weeks later you just poof.
Yeah, exactly. He's been marked.
By the way, I don't think they ever established that once they defeated the monster, those other people came back.
They don't. They just straight up die.
Yeah.
Hell, the plant monster ate that jogger. I'm assuming the taxi ate those two drunk businessmen. People fucking die in this show.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So anyway, Buddy's been marked, right? So he's gonna die. That's the reason they're getting married so soon, because they want. He said they like each other, and, you know, oh, our last days together should be the most ever.
I just find it baffling how Hoka's immediate reaction to this cursed mark is not, let's fix it, let's fight the monster, but if we fail, you're gonna die, so I'll make your.
Do you know? Last you know what it good. Was? You know what it was? I'll tell you what it was. We clearly see that it's a Christian church.
Yeah.
There's a cross and everything.
And
so these two might be Christian or Catholics.
And a white minister.
Yeah, and the guy was white, yeah. So, this wasn't about marriage.
This was
about fucking. Okay? They can't fuck unless they're married. The guy's dying tomorrow.
Wait. I wonder if Hoka maybe was working an angle where she could get half his stuff when he died.
Or all of his stuff.
Or all of it, yeah.
Yeah, as he dies, right?
I get a wedding, I get to have sex, and I get all his stuff when he died. Win-win!
Yeah!
You know what? It's horrible to say, but
she was actually,
I would not put any of that past Hoka.
But at the same time, she was actively trying to find the monster and save him.
Exactly.
Yes. They do establish that she was actually searching for the monster while spending all of this other time with the wedding.
No, I'm going with the sex angle.
What's really cool was when, Magic Green, like, tells the plant or whatever, just like, you know, don't tell Hoka I'm doing this, because I don't want her happiness to be ruined.
And Mandra Boy has to be a little shit.
Yeah, and he decides, I'm sorry, I'm breaking my promise, but you better need your help. And then she, like, runs out, just goes. But what I really like was, they had shot an entirely new morphing sequence with her in the dress, because I was worried, like, oh, it's just gonna show her in her pink outfit. No! Wedding dress!
That was great.
Yeah, well, that was cool when they go the extra mile like that.
They sure don't empower Rangers.
Not anymore. So then formula. Then they decide, the mark's disappearing. We don't have to get married!
But they still go through the full ceremony right up to the I do's.
At first I thought they were like, actually it was an actual prank the entire time. I was gonna be like, fuck you!
No. It turns out that they don't need to get married because the guy's not dying. So they said, who wants to be a boring married couple anyway?
And she's like,
we're just going to be a couple.
Plus, it's too early for me to quit being a Magi Ranger.
Yeah, ha-ha. You know what was great, though? During that whole, like, the gotcha, like, the reaction shots of everyone, it cuts to Mandrake, and he's wearing a tux.
Yeah, that was weird.
Just, like, for 1 second.
Did, like, Tetsuya not notice that?
So, heartwarming episode, I'll say. I felt again, Green is my favorite now even more. I felt that personal connection.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like I was saying last week, my favorite of choice is Tsubasa, but Makito is the most entertaining.
Yeah.
So Makito's my favorite.
And 5-5.
And the third episode we watched was about Makito.
And the third episode we watched, I'm like, wait, who's that? Who's this? What's going on?
Yeah, okay, so we've Magishine's in it.
He's in it.
He's a baller.
I understand he's the sixth. He's the gold one. He's Solaris from Mystic Force.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one they use.
Daggeron was the character's name. Solaris Knight was the hero.
Oh, yeah.
He's a god.
Yes, he is the heavenly saint. But, okay, Sanjo.
This is like a cautionary tale, kids, I guess. Don't, like, watch something then jump like goddamn 20 episodes later because you're like, wait, what? Who's he? Why is there a cat in a magic lamp? What's going on?
Hey, that's Smokey, and Smokey's awesome.
No, I'm sure he's awesome, but I'm like, who the fuck is that? And then like it cuts to fucking hell, and I'm like, wait, where'd the robot go?
Yeah, where'd Rankin go?
What's going on?
Wolzard's not there for some fucking reason. Except they resurrect the four beasts of hell.
We saw Wolzard in a shot later talking to the samurai dudes.
No. Okay, I'm gonna go full description of what happened here, which is awesome. So they revived the four beasts of Hades.
The kings of hell.
The Shiteno. It's a troll.
So, the first one we get is this, like, Yeti dude, which he looks fucking awesome. Second one is, like, this dog dude.
Kobold.
Yes, who... My favorite. It's fucking so cool looking. The third one is...
It was called Siren, but it was literally a fucking weird mass of bones.
I didn't like it. And then the fourth one was a samurai. He walks past Wolzard, and they bump shoulders, and he's just like, you're supposed to apologize for bumping into me, and he's just like, you bumped into me. And then they're just,
I'm standing still.
No, and I'm just like, oh, these guys already have fucking beef with each other, and then they just turn around, he tries to attack him with the sword, blocks with the shield, and they're like, wow, you're pretty good.
I'm not gonna spoil any details, but that's because they fought already.
Okay.
I'm gonna say, too, I'm just a fan of whenever I see multicultural weapons clash against each other. So seeing a
European knight against a Japanese samurai?
Yeah, like seeing... Absolutely. Seeing a katana
You should play Fire Emblem Fates, then.
Seeing a katana clash against a broadshield, that's just cool to me.
Yeah.
Care to join?
While they're all being shot at by a Western gun.
That's how we do. That's how we're doing now.
So the samurai's fucking broken because he has these different symbols that he like rotates on the sword, and
he's like a Shinken.
There's this moment where he cuts a building in half, and I'm like, there's the body count. Like,
oh. later on, like the Match Rangers are about to fight him, and he's like, you can't defeat us, like our bond is so strong, and he's like, oh, bond, huh?
So he literally shifts his sword to like
bond.
His sword has different modes of things it cuts. It goes from, like, life to buildings to bond.
To buildings.
And I'm like, how the fuck even?
And then he cuts their bond. Literally.
Except for Kai and...
No, except for Makito.
Oh, Makito, sorry, yeah.
Except for Makito and Hikaru.
And Hikaru, yeah.
Hikaru.
So they all become assholes.
Which I just thought it was so interesting. It wasn't like they were lifeless zombies or anything. They just didn't care about each other
anymore.
They
just became dicks.
I just loved it. Like they weren't even dicks. They were just like...
No, it wasn't like they still like... care. They're like, we don't need to be together anymore.
We don't need to live together. We're all sent separate moving companies.
Yeah.
Although it was funny how Kai came back because he was like, no one's going to give a room to a high schooler.
That was a good joke.
I was just sitting there like, yeah, no.
That was a good joke.
I can't legally live on my own yet.
I just love it. So I'm going to go in my room, never bother me, and I'm never coming out. Oh, so a real teenager. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And Dave. I calls him like I sees him. I love you, Dave.
And of course, Makito is like, oh no, we're family, we're siblings. Blah, blah, blah. Look at my scrapbook.
Look at it.
Hey,
look at it.
Yeah, which Raven came up with the title for this week's episode. Mm-hmm. What was it?
Come on.
I don't even remember.
Magic Ranger 10 years before.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
10 years before, we were all wearing shorts.
That picture of Aaron's still there.
Of course it's still there. Ichi's in charge.
God damn it. Anyways, yeah. So then they decide, oh, like, he's about to be able to convince them, like, oh, you know, we're a family and stuff. And they're like, oh. And then they get the call from their phones that the samurai guy dude showed up. So they go and try to defeat him, which they do. But then we find out that... Hey, he's not... The samurai's not the monster.
The sword's the monster.
It's like Dogold from Kyoryuger.
Yeah.
The source of his power.
So he possesses Makito.
And I gotta say, there's a reason we can't see real human faces on these suits.
It just looks so goofy.
It's so wonky.
His face is the he was making when he was like attacking. Oh, he was like,
Makito is the king of hilarious faces in this whole show.
I couldn't take him seriously.
You're not supposed to.
I think I was supposed to at this point. and it just like he starts slicing up the photo album. Actually, you know what my favorite aspect was?
Huh?
When before they defeated him, like he's like he tries like every year I guess they have a shish kebab picnic.
Yeah,
which that's cute. And then like here you want a shish kebab? No, we don't want shish kebabs. and then the shish kebabs end up on the ground.
No,
he's like he's trying to save them. And the brother and they're all like we don't care, man. And like I'll admit, like I was getting a bit like saddened by just wow, they just don't care.
Yeah,
he's trying so hard.
Family since mom died.
Karu makes a mention going like, wait, they haven't left yet. Like, maybe it's working. But yeah, so like, the samurai dude possessing Makito just like proceeds to like destroy the album. And he's like, your bond's like even more broken and stuff. But then they wake up and they're like, oh my god, you asshole! Why did you fucking do that?
And they all hug the samurai.
Yeah, they all hug the fuck and they defeat him with love.
I was gonna say.
No, like, Hikaru like transforms and knocks the sword out of his hand.
Yeah, and then breaks it.
Fuck love!
Yeah, I was gonna say. I was actually wondering if they were gonna do that.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh my god, are they really gonna defeat him through the power of love? No, fuck that shit. Blow it up.
Yeah.
And then they learn. Makito learned a new spell, which let him revive the shish kebab.
No.
The description of the spell was it changes things in poor condition to good condition.
That's.
Which in practice apparently reverses time when things get broken. Because it fixes the kebabs and the album.
So he needs powers.
Yeah.
You know, it's the
repair spell.
To this day, I still can't believe that's still a thing in modern media. Where the power of love and friendship is an actual force.
Yeah.
As much as I love the movie and as much as I love the scene, I still can't believe that the Guardians of the Galaxy defeated Ronan through the power of friendship.
Yeah.
It's like, what is this, Care Bears? They're literally... And then they start shooting beans.
Care Bears stare! Care Bears stare!
Raven, you look like you had something to say.
No, I was in full agreement with you.
Technically, it wasn't the power of friendship. It was the strength of friendship.
Power of joining hands.
If four complete strangers had held the Infinity Gem together, it would have had the same effect. Wait, it was not the power of friendship. It was the power of proper distribution.
No. Because, off topic completely, the collector shows them a clip of people who tried to do that same thing. They couldn't do it, because they weren't friends.
But I thought Ronan I thought Ronan was defeated.
But did all four of them touch it at once?
He was?
No, yeah, they were all.
Okay, then fine.
Like, okay, granted, they weren't holding hands, but like.
Then there you go!
They were connected with like ropes or something.
Not good enough! I win!
You know it was the power of friendship! They glowed
blue for time.
Star-Lord's lost his mom.
Peter.
The power of orphans.
Peter, take my hand, Peter.
No.
The power of orphans.
You can do it, Peter.
You see what we're doing with our lives? Don't bring up Hook.
You're doing it, Peter.
He's stealing second.
That was amazingly timed.
We just need a lane bullet count. How many bullets are in lane right now?
By my count.
Guys, why do I have jelly ketchup all over me?
Whoever guesses the closest gets a free jar of beans.
What kind of beans? Kidney beans, I don't
know. Beans that came from Lane's kidneys.
Anyways, now we need a catheter. Yeah, then they have their shish kebab party and all is well.
All I can say is... Okay, look, I'll be honest, again, not bad episodes. Really not at all. In fact, I had fun. One of them, the feels were definitely real in the third one. The second one was heartwarming, and the first one was cute. Yeah, sure. It was dopey, but it was cute. Like, yeah. Oh, ha ha.
But
like, but fuck Gar anyway.
Fuck Gar anyway, man. I just, what am I doing with this? I don't know what this is. What's happening? Who is this? Where are they now? When could they do that? And just what's going on?
I feel like at the very least, one of the episodes we watched should have been the debut of Magishine.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly.
You know what? Let's.
I was actually expecting it, and I was surprised when that was not the case.
You know what? Let's wrap up this episode, and then we'll go watch it. No.
God no.
God no. It's bedtime.
Alright, HIT, do your thing.
Thank you, one and all, for listening to yet another episode of Cast Ranger. We are quickly approaching that episode 100, so stay tuned.
Oh, baby.
We
got something great planned.
Not that we haven't hinted at it for the last 2 years. As always, you can check out our main website, castranger.podbean.com, for all of our episodes. Subscribe to us on iTunes if you prefer that method. Check out our Facebook page and tweet at us at Ixy Studios or any of the Cast Ranger Twitters. And with that, thank you again for listening. We are out!